I'm reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, this morning. Matthew 12, and let me read to you, and if you want to follow along, you may read with me, verses 14 through 19. Matthew 12, verses 14 through 19, reads this way. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. The Lord Jesus Christ had many run-ins with the Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? Well, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of their day. They were the doctors, those with degrees of doctor of divinity behind their name. They were the reverends who thought they were righteous, men who thought they were righteous. In other words, they were self-righteous. Men who thought they knew everything about God and were teachers of God's law. Men who pretended to be looking for the Christ, but in fact they didn't know either God or Christ. You see, God had hid these things from these wise and prudent, or self-styled wise and prudent men, and revealed them unto babes. What things? The things of God, that is. He, who God really is, who Christ really is, what salvation really is. And it's the same today. God hath hid these things, the truth, salvation, from the self-professed wise and prudent, and revealed them unto the hungry, the thirsty, those who want to know the truth. Well, these Pharisees held a council, it says. They went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. They got together and had a big meeting, a synod, to see what they were going to do with this Jesus. And you know what God thinks of the councils that men hold. In Psalm 2, verse 2, it says, The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. In verse 4, it says, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God Almighty laughs at man's counsels and their counselors. One council was held by God before the world began. One council, and no one was there but God. And all things were determined then. All things were purposed by God then. God says in Isaiah 46:10, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Ephesians 1:11 says, God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, he laughs at the councils, the meetings, the gatherings of men, of what they're going to do with God. Well, verse 15 in our text of Matthew 12 says, When Christ knew this, they were holding his counsel, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. All who follow Christ, the counselor. Yes, Isaiah 9:6 says his name shall be Wonderful Counselor. All who truly hear him and believe him and follow him will be healed of the disease of all diseases, sin. Verse 16, it says, He charged them that they should not make him known. He charged them all to not publish abroad, not sound out that he was the Christ. Why? Why would he tell them to keep silent and not publish his name? Well, there will be a time for that later on. But at this time, he says this, to verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, to fulfill scriptures, in other words. Everything Christ did was to fulfill scriptures. All the Old Testament speaks of Christ. Christ said, they are they which testify of me. The Christ of the New Testament is the Christ who was promised and prophesied and typified in the Old Testament. He must fit the character described in the Old Testament. And this is in fulfillment of Isaiah 42, which goes on to read, behold, my servant, and goes on to say, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. Let's consider this just a moment. The word behold means just that, to look, to see, stop, and consider. Here is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, God says, stop, see, consider, look at, behold, my servant. My servant. Now, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he calls the Lord Jesus Christ my servant, as if he's the only one. Now, there were many servants of God, and yet he calls Christ my servant, as if he's the only one. Just as he said that Christ was that prophet. He said that through Moses, that God would raise up a prophet, that prophet. Now, God had many prophets, yet Christ was that prophet, the one to end all prophecies. Christ was his messenger, the messenger of the covenant, Malachi spoke. God had many messengers, but yet God spoke of Christ as if he were the only one, his witness, the true and faithful witness. Though he had many, yet Christ was spoken of as being the only one. Because he is the one true original, the one to whom all the others give witness, bear witness, the one who is the message of all other messengers. All others are imitations. This is the true and original. My servant, God said. Behold, my servant. Now, if I may illustrate in this manner, so you'll know what God is saying here of Christ. Back in days of old, rich lords of vast plantations and vast landholdings, rich lords of old had but one true servant. Though they had many servants throughout their kingdom or their plantation, or they had servants who worked in the garden, servants who worked on the ground, servants who worked around the house, in the kitchen, and so forth, yet the rich lord of the manor had but one true servant, a butler. And he was the most trusted. He was the most faithful. He was the loyal, diligent, most conscientious of all the servants. In fact, he was the one who was entrusted with the care of the whole manor, the whole house, the one with the most important task. He was the one to whom all the other servants answered, the one whom the Lord held in strict confidence, that is, told him his innermost thoughts. He was the one whom the Lord of the manor chose to be his right-hand man, because this man knew what he did, thought as he did, and held his own convictions. This man had his best interest in mind, and all of the Lord's holdings were safe with this one man, the one in charge of the whole estate. And so God says of the Lord Jesus Christ, behold my servant. God's faithful, loyal, diligent servant, the one entrusted with all, the one in charge over all, the one to whom all other servants answer. God says, he shall do it all. He shall do all my will. The scripture says, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, of Christ. I come to do thy will, O God. God's trustworthy servant, servant of the covenant, to do God's will. Verse 18 says, whom I have chosen, my servant whom I have chosen. Psalm 89, 19 says, I have laid help on one that is mighty. I exalted one chosen out of the people. Jesus Christ was a man, yes, but the God-man, out of the people, amongst the people, in the world but not of the world, exalted by God, laid help upon, one that is mighty. All power is given unto me, Christ said, in heaven and in earth. Over all flesh, God says, mine elect, Isaiah says, mine elect, handpicked, chosen, exalted, elevated, put in the highest and loftiest position of all. King of kings and Lord of lords, yet while on this earth, he said, I am one among you that serveth, servant of God. Now, we do not make him Lord. God laughs at that. God made him Lord. He said in that same psalm we read a while ago, Psalm 2, verse 6, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. We don't make him Lord. God made him Lord before the universe was created. My servant, he said, my beloved, my chosen, my beloved, he says, in whom I am well pleased. The only begotten, well-beloved Son of the Most High God, first son, first love. It says in Isaiah 42, that same chapter, verse 21, God is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. As you would be with a perfect child, an obedient child, a model child, and there's never truly been one, never any human child born without sin, perfect, but Christ was the express image of God, the holy, spotless Son of the Most High God. Scripture says he will magnify the law and make it honorable. God's word. And he did so, and God said he is well pleased. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased for his righteousness' sake. And the only way God is pleased with us is by faith in Christ, our righteousness. He goes on to say in verse 18, I will put my spirit upon him. My spirit, the Holy Spirit. Pure, spotless, holy, righteous, sinless, sanctified Spirit of the Most High God. He had the Spirit without measure. Do you know what the name Christ means? Christos in the Greek. It means the Anointed One. That there's only one man who can hold that title, the Anointed One. No man can ever say at any time, I am anointed. No man has ever said that, no true man of God. And anyone who says that today is an imposter. Anyone who claims, I am anointed, is an imposter. Isaiah 61 is what Christ read in that day when they gave him the book as a 30-year-old man. And he read from that, the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me, it said. And Christ went on to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. Isaiah spoke that not of himself, but of the Christ, the Anointed One. And he goes on to say, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentile. Judgment to heathen, the Gentile. True, righteous judgment, understanding. And he shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. He wasn't striving with the sons of men. He wasn't trying to get people to believe him. No, he's looking for his sheep, looking for God's chosen one. And he found them all and saved them all. Behold my servant, God said, mine elect. Oh, do you know him? Ask God to reveal him. Till next Sunday, good day.